If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fall to the Ottawa Senators 4-3 in overtime. Turn over to my right and bring in Troy Murray. We burned through two TV timeouts in the third period, and so we miss the organ music by Carrie. Like we went straight. We needed to do a couple segments, so we don't even get to hear the organ music. That's how. Thanks for being with us, Troy.
What
thoughts on the controversial overtime goal? I couldn't tell if they were reviewing whether it was a kicking motion or it was a goalie interference. And I don't think the official made it clear when what they reviewed. They just said the call on the ice stands. It's a good goal. Do you think they were reviewing both, or was there one or the other that they were looking at closely?
Well, I'm assuming that they looked at both, but there was no kicking motion, so that was not in the equation. So it had to be just the goaltender interference. But I thought that the puck was kind of clear of Soderblom. It went off the skate before the contact was made, and it was on the outside of where Soderblom was. So it's not like he went through him or anything like that. It was on the outside of his right pad. When I was talking about it, I'm going at it either way. And so I'm not surprised that they didn't overturn it. It has to be conclusive. Was there contact made? Yeah. Was it after the fact? Probably that's where the decision was made that the contact by Stützle was made after the puck was in motion to be going into the net. So
yeah, or they just felt Wyatt Kaiser pushed Stützle into Soderblom, and it was like, well, your own guy pushed him, created the interference, so yeah. It's not goalie interference.
I've been looking on my phone to see if there's been an explanation from the NHL, which we usually do on reviews, but I have not seen that as of yet. And again, that's not a coach's challenge. That is initiated by the NHL situation room. They look at all those things in the last couple of minutes and in overtime. So, they looked at it. They talk on the headset with the situation room, and they came up to it. It was a good goal, and I can't argue with it. I'm not going to, say it's the wrong call.
Yeah, I will say it did look like it was closer to a kicking motion than I originally thought, because Stützle is looking down at the puck, and he kind of like, it's kind of like a hockey stop where you can't tell if it's like a stop or an actual kicking motion, because it's different from like an actual sweeping kicking motion. But it felt like it was a stop, and like he kind of knew what he was doing, like where the puck was, and kind of just pushes it in. So I don't know. I think the Hawks, it felt like it could have gone that way too. Like Stützle knew where that puck was. It didn't just go in by accident.
He's pretty good because he got to the heel of his skate on this. It's not a forward kicking motion.
See, like, he slides. Yeah, we're looking at the replay.
You can see a little bit there, but I don't
think, he's staring at it the whole time.
That's a distinct kicking motion, and, that's probably one of the angles that they were looking at as well. But give Stutz a lot of credit. I mean, he just put the shoulder down and went around Kaiser, and Kaiser just couldn't get the body position. Big 2 points for the Ottawa Senators. They need that. And for the Hawks, solid effort. Got to clean up some things again. But after a kind of a shaky start, they played much better in their own end of the ice and limited Ottawa to only. And both of these teams, by the way, are low in the shots four category coming into this game. And the Hawks only 20 shots on goal, but five short of their average.
We were talking about it in the pregame show. The Ottawa Senators came into this game with the fewest even strength goals, and so you figured staying out of the penalty box was going to be a key for the Blackhawks, especially because Ottawa is tied for 10th in power play percentage as well. And Ottawa scored all four of their goals in this game at even strength. They didn't get a single, I think they had, one power play in this game?
They had one power play. Yeah,
so I mean, from that perspective, the Hawks played it well. They just had the breakdowns at even strength.
Yeah, and their penalty killing hasn't been good as of late, so they needed to be disciplined in this game. So they weren't doing anything extracurricular because they know how important the points are here. And they had given up at least one power play goal in seven of the last games coming into this one, and the Blackhawks were 1-for-1 on the Sitco power play. So some pretty impressive numbers by the Blackhawks. They got the job done, but just not enough at the end to beat the Ottawa Senators. But they battled hard and they worked, and it's a tough team against the Ottawa Senators. They've got a solid team, and now they're all healthy. Their top two lines can do some damage when they're all healthy, and you know that's the key for them as they move forward here, to stay healthy.
Ryan Donato, we've been talking about him all season long. He scores his 100th career NHL goal in finding the back of the net, and it was also his 20th even strength goal of the season, tied for 14th in the NHL. Probably going to be his last game as a Blackhawk with Friday's trade deadline at 2 p.m. And if it is...
You don't know that.
I don't know that. I'll say more
you
likely...
You don't know that.
More likely than not, he's going to be moved by Friday just because of the way he's been playing.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And by the way, Washington won in overtime. So Rangers pick up 1 point. And so as John said, they're tied in points. But the Ottawa Senators have played one fewer game, so they jump into that second playoff spot.
And Ovechkin, I think he's 10 away now.
He scored a goal in this game. Wow, I mean, against the Rangers.
So the Blackhawks now...
Ryan Donato.
Yeah, Ryan Donato, that's what I was saying.
Let's get back there. I made you lose your train of thought there. I'm not surprised. He's playing with a lot of confidence. He's in great shape. He plays his first shift like he plays his last shift. The consistency has been there all season long, and he's done the exact same thing when he has played in the games. And when you're looking for consistency in players, Ryan Donato is just a fantastic example of the consistency of what he brings. If you're the coaching staff, you don't even have to worry about trying to get Ryan Donato on the right page, because you know he's got a great attitude and he works hard. And
give me this event summary, please.
But he works hard. Yeah, he works hard and he competes. And you know he's got that drive. And you know you'd mentioned that maybe Ottawa was in the equation of trying to acquire Ryan Donato. And if they watch this game, they're saying, "Man, I want that guy." And one of the keys is not only has he got, you know, 23 goals on the season, but he's done it from the fourth line. He's done it as a winger. He's done it as a center. He can kill penalties. He can take faceoffs when need be. And, he's a guy that, and he doesn't complain. If he's playing fourth line, you know what? If he gets five shifts less because he's playing the fourth line, it doesn't matter. He's just going to give it everything he's got every single shift, whether it, you know, wherever he's playing in the lineup, up or down.
It's hard to believe he was a healthy scratch twice early in the season. I mean, that was really early in the season when they were trying to figure out how to make all the veterans work with Craig Smith, Pat Maroon, all that. But, you know, looking back, I mean, he's really exceeded expectations. He's got a point in six straight, a point in 10 of the last 11, three-game goal streak, four goals over that stretch. I mean, and to be performing the way he has with all the distractions of, is he going to get traded, is he not? I mean, it's got to be really impressive for him to be able to compartmentalize the off-ice noise and still being going out there and producing.
And that's a lot to do with his faith.
Yeah.
He's a firm believer, and, you know, there's a purpose to everything that happens. So whatever happens, he moves along with it. And I think that's a great attitude that, you know, he everything is done for a reason. And if he gets traded, then there was a reason that he gets traded. You know, but we've talked about this before. If he does get traded, and I know that he loves Chicago, and he loves the guys inside the room. He's been real happy with what's happened this year, and obviously having a career year, he's having, I wouldn't say a lot of fun, because it's never fun losing, but he's enjoying the game just because of the type of person, the character that he has. So, you know, again, you could be in a situation and say, listen, Ryan, you know, this is good for you that you go to a contender, a team that has the opportunity to play in the postseason. and we can circle back. If you feel like you know we're still a good fit, we can circle back if we can make the numbers work on a deal. Because obviously he's going to, as an unrestricted free agent, he's going to get a lot of attention out there of the type of player that he is, the character. And I don't think that, you know, I don't think there's going to be a big dip. Is he a natural goal scorer? No. There, you know, I can say that right off the bat. He's not a natural goal scorer. But the way he scores goals is because the way he plays the game. And he plays the game the right way. And every team wants that.
So apparently Frank Saravalli of the Daily Faceoff was on the CHSN broadcast earlier today, and he said the Hawks are receiving a lot of interest in Ryan Donato. They're going to be patient. The ask is a first-round pick. So I think we felt like the minimum to, like, you're not moving for Ryan Donato for a third or more, and then once it got into second-round pick territory, you're like, okay, I think the Hawks, but if the Hawks can somehow get a first out of this, I mean, that would be a testament to Ryan Donato and how far he has come this season, and it would be a massive win for the Blackhawks if they were able to pouch one.
Yeah, if you could, you know, turn a guy that was a healthy scratch at the beginning of the season, penciled in as a fourth line, maybe an extra, and turned it into a first round draft pick, that's pretty impressive. And you know, Kyle's got to do what is the best for the team first and foremost. But I think that, you know, even look at the Seth Jones situation. He took care of Seth Jones to where he wanted to go. And for Ryan Donato, if there's options, I'm sure that Kyle Davidson's going to look, obviously, at the return first and foremost. But at the same time, I think that he has respect for the players, that he goes in and he says, listen, I've got this team, and this team. They're basically the same offer. You know, where would you prefer to go? And that's the right thing to do, to have respect from the general manager, to give the player that option if everything in as far as the return is pretty much the same, because you got to get the best return if you're going to make this deal.
Connor Bedard, his point drought is up to 7 games. Thoughts on his game today? He had a few chances in this game. I think they were both in the third period. The frustration is probably growing for him. They've been trying some different line combinations, but still held off the score sheet for Connor.
Yeah, they're switching lines around right now to try and get Connor going out of this little slide that he's been in here. And he did have 2 shots on goal. They were both good opportunities, some of the best we've seen in this drought that he's been going through. But you know, somehow, some way, he's just gonna have to figure it out. It's part of the learning curve. This is a tough league, and you know, for Connor Bedard at 5'10 180 pounds, I should say, 19 years of age, going up against Brady Tkachuk, 6'4", 205. I mean, he's a man. And, you know, Connor Bedard's still maturing. He's not going to grow to that height. But, you know, it's just a learning process of how you need to play. And he's trying to figure it out. He needs to be involved more in the game. And it's not easy. And he's trying to do everything. I look at it, and sometimes he's trying to do too much, right? And I always looked at it, if I was in a slump or some player was in a slump, the best thing to do is what? Simplify your game. Just simplify your game. Somebody's in front of you, move the puck. If the right play is to dump it in, chip it in. Go on the forecheck. If the right play, the timing's right and you've got time and space, yeah, you can. You always want to have puck possession moving into the offensive zone. But if that's not the right play, just make the simple play that's in front of you. And then you'd be happy with that, and you just work from there. And if you try and do too much, which I know Connor wants to have the puck, and he wants to make those plays. He knows that he can make those plays. But right now they're just not working for him. Just simplify the game. Back it off a little bit. Just do the simple things. And that's not easy for a guy who has dominated at every level and now is going through 7 games without a point. And, you know, if you look at the 19 goals that have been scored in the last 4 games, and Bedard has not factored into one of them, not even a secondary assist. So that's frustrating for a guy who's used to putting up points for sure.
Yeah, and he did come close in this game to generate. I think he almost picked up a secondary assist on one of the chances. I can't remember which I wrote down. I think it was Nazar to Doc, and Bedard would have picked up the secondary assist. So it's tough, because even when you're in a slump like this, you kind of would like just a secondary assist just to see the point total. You know, like even something as little as that could help get the confidence going. And he just hasn't even been able to luck into that either.
No, but the good thing is he won 9 out of his 12 faceoffs in this game. And if you look at
that's
it, the Blackhawks were at 42%. So him winning the 9 draws, I mean, took the team average way up there. If you look at some of the other numbers, Lucas Reichel lost 7 of his 8. Ryan Donato lost 5 of his 7 draws. So Connor Bedard was actually the only other guy. Tyler Bertuzzi's not a center. He won both of the faceoffs that he took. So Connor Bedard was the best faceoff man. The other good thing, too, is, you know, down at the morning skate, Jason Dickinson was out there on the ice. And Nick Foligno, I think, is pretty close to coming back here. So you get those guys back into the lineup. You have to make some decisions of who's going to come out of the lineup. And, you know, it's going to be tough because they've kind of got a good little mojo going here with a lot of these young guys in the lineup. But you certainly want to get those experienced guys back in there. And that's not only the play on the ice, but that's also the mentorship and the knowledge inside the room.
We saw Foligno, Dickinson, and Kurashev on the ice in green non-contact jerseys. I thought they were just getting ready for St. Paddy's Day with the green uniforms on.
Well, that's probably why they put them in green.
That's maybe it. They were skating as the fifth line this morning.
Yeah, so. And they actually all look pretty good. And for Dickinson to be out there, I mean, the high ankle sprains, those are tough. You have to make sure, because if you catch a rut or you twist it anyways, you're going to be back to scratch dealing with it. So make sure that you're 100% ready. And the way that the team is right now, where it is in the, you know, in the standings and stuff, there's no hurry to rush him back because you need some points going, you know, forward here through the end of the season. So they'll take their time, make the right decision on those guys and get them back in at the right time.
Arvid Soderblom, he started this game. Anders Sorensen spoke to the media a little bit ago. We'll play his audio later on, but Spencer Knight is going to start Friday's game, and apparently Sorensen said it's going to be Knight and Soderblom moving forward. So that's the goaltending rotation. Peter Mrazek is going to be the odd guy out. I imagine the Hawks are going to do everything they can to facilitate a deal before Friday to help Peter Mrazek as well, but it's going to be Knight and Soderblom as the tandem as of right now.
Yeah, and the one thing that's going to have to happen if that comes true is they're going to have to find a third party to broker the deal.
Right.
They've retained their three spots as far as retaining salary in moving players. They picked up in the rent, and I think it's McCabe in Toronto that is still is. But it's expiring, and then Rantanen comes off the books as well. So they get two of those back, and then they'll have Seth Jones for another 5 years at $2.5 million. But those retention spots, you know, are very valuable, and teams have to be careful. And now the Blackhawks, because of the situation that happened with Seth, they, you know, had to take some money and retain that. So they got into a position now where they have to find a third-party team to broker the deal, like we also saw. I think Detroit picked up brokered a deal with the Seattle Kraken and Tampa. So, but that's got to be frustrating for Peter, who has been a big part of how this team has performed the last couple seasons. And I mean that in a good way, because he has been excellent. He was the player of the year in my mind last year, how well he played all season long. His last, you know, month hasn't been great. But you have to have respect for a veteran guy like that, and not easy for him to sit back and watch two guys kind of take over his spot, if that's the way that Sorensen was talking about the rotation is going to be moving forward.
All right, Blackhawks fall to the Ottawa Senators 4-3 in overtime. That is the great Troy Murray. He was okay tonight, as always. I do like your green tie. You really...
It's the only green tie. It's about the only I have, so that's what I wore today.
All right, cool. We'll just ignore the backhanded compliment that I threw your way. I tried to point out the tie so you wouldn't notice that I said you were okay tonight.
Well, you started out with the great, and then you said I was okay. So kind of went downhill real quick.
It's been a busy buzz night.
If you had said the okay Troy Murray was just okay tonight, I would have accepted that. But I was kind of hurt when you went from way up there to
I'm sorry
down at the bottom there.
All right, all is forgiven. All right, Pat Maroon and I think it was Landon Slaggart spoke to the media, so we'll hear what they had to say on the other side of the break as the Blackhawks postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN. We are back here on the Blackhawks post-game show. Before I get to Pat Maroon, the NHL Situation Room has released an explanation on the video review of the controversial overtime goal, and here's their explanation. The video review supported the referee's call on the ice that the puck deflected off of Tim Stützle's skate and entered the net in a legal fashion. Further, a challenge initiated by the Situation Room for goaltender interference determined that the actions of Chicago's Wyatt Kaiser caused Stützle to contact goaltender Arvid Soderblom prior to his goal, and they referenced Rule 37.4 as the reason why. So actually, I will credit the NHL for doing this, because typically the explanation is pretty vague, but they confirmed that the puck deflected off of Tim Stützle's skate and entered the net in a legal fashion, which is in bold, and also they felt like Wyatt Kaiser pushed Stützle into Arvid Soderblom, which is why it's not goalie interference. So credit to the NHL for releasing that. I don't know if the entire city of Chicago is going to agree with the call, but and thank you to the great Troy Murray for showing me the Situation Room ahead of time. I have to give credit to Troy, of course. Pat Maroon, I imagine he wasn't happy, though, about the controversial overtime goal, because he was one of the guys that went up to the officials after the game and was kind of giving them an earful. Let's listen in and hear what Pat Maroon had to say about the loss to Ottawa.
To wait for that to end, do you think that was a good goal or
a kick? It seems like we've been on the other side of those a lot this year, and unfortunately, I don't know, it seems like he drives him back in the net. And the only reason he gets to turn around is because he runs into the goalie and unfortunately hits his skate and goes in. So, the boys played hard tonight. We battled back. We stuck in there. But, again, we don't know. Those calls can go either way, and it seems like they're not going our way this year for some reason.
In that regard, does this feel like a good point? I mean, the way you did battle back and, you know, and were able to get the game 2 overtime in the first place?
Yeah, I think we've been playing great the last, 3 games. We should be proud of ourselves, but I think we talked amongst the group, like, going forward here, we want to be above 500 going in, to the end of the season here. So we want to battle as much as we can, and we want to play good hockey and build good habits and, play the right way and learn how to play the right way for a long period of time instead of just one game at a time, you know what I mean? And then we have 3 bad ones. So the boys stuck with it tonight. They're a desperate hockey team, as you guys know. They're fighting for a battle spot, so we got their best tonight, and I thought we handled it pretty well.
What do you see in your goal? Or Smith's goal?
I don't know. Just, I dangled them and got the rebound back and saw Smith in the slot. There's nothing much to it. It was a good high flip. We talked about pushing the pace, and, I was jumping and, got a bouncer. Guy tried to bat it down, and I got a bouncer I saw in between the stick, and got to lift it, but unfortunately I got the rebound back and Smitty followed up in the play and got the goal. So obviously for us, though, I think we just got to continue to moving forward here, keep playing good hockey, sticking with it, and that's a big thing.
What can you say about Donato and Teravainen at this point? They've just been months
right now.
Yeah.
It's instant. You got to give it to Dono. Dono works his butt off every single game. He gives it 110%, and he gets rewarded by doing that. And he's a hell of a player, and he deserves everything he's got right now. And he's getting rewarded by it. And he's a guy that probably a lot of these guys probably should look at. He's just a hardworking guy that continues to do it every single night. And and Table's just a smart defensive, offensive player, offensive-minded, sees the game really well, always in position, and never hurts the team, and, he finds ways to get it done, and he's just a solid hockey player that, his tendencies kind of take over a little bit, his hockey sense takes over, and he sees the game so well, and, they're reading off each other pretty well, and Mickey's got the speed, and the tenacity to, hump pucks down, and their lines, chemistry is pretty well right now, so it's been fun to watch.
This is a 16-point streak for Donato. Do you worry that he's making himself too attractive this week?
Oh, I think I'm going the other way with that. I think we should sign him. Don't you think?
It's not up to me.
It's not up to me either. It's above my pay grade, so I can't tell you that. But he's earned every right, and obviously teams are talking. His name's been in the media throughout the last couple weeks, and he's earned that, but he's also earned the right to make a decision where he wants to go, right? So, he's having a heck of a year and he deserves it. So, I would like him to stay, but that's not, like I said, it's above my pay grade.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Pat Maroon. He is vouching for the Blackhawks to re-sign Ryan Donato. It's hard not to agree with him somewhat, but because he is really playing himself, feels like, out of Chicago, there could be a scenario where the Blackhawks say, hey, we'd be interested in re-signing you on July 1st, but he has become such an attractive piece around teams. We were mentioning it before the game. The Ottawa Senators are one of the teams reportedly that are really poking around on him, and it's no surprise because the Senators went into this game dead last in the NHL in even strength goals, and Ryan Donato is among the NHL leaders in even strength goals this season. So Donato continues to turn in a fabulous season for Chicago. Likely his last game as a Blackhawk, because Friday's trade deadline is at 2 p.m. And the Hawks game is obviously later in the night at 7:30. Let's get to Landon Slaggard. He picked up a primary assist. It was on the goal by Ryan Donato. He also got promoted to the top line with Bedard and Nazar in the third period. Let's hear what Slaggard had to say after this one.
I like where our game's trending these past couple games. I thought tonight was no different. I think we came out a little slow. Obviously, they got off to an early lead, but we battled back, and that's what we like to see out of this group, and hopefully we can keep building on it.
What do you think of the OT winner?
I think it's frustrating. You know, that call could go either way. It didn't go our way tonight, but, you know, they send that one over to Toronto, and they make their decision. But, you know, I thought we deserved better. We played a hard game, and, you know, just didn't come out with it tonight.
And what do you think of your play?
I liked my play tonight. I thought I kind of found my game after the first and really kind of settled in. Had a few chances, and, you know, hopefully can finish off a few more.
You guys overall happy with how you've been playing these last couple of games? I know the first period the other night was a lot of Spencer, but for the most part, how happy are you guys with what you've been able to do these last couple of games?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. You know, it's no fun to lose, so when we can string a couple wins together, obviously it would have been nice to get the third one tonight, but yeah, it's fun winning, and especially with this group. We've got a good group in here, and we just want to keep building towards something.
Maroon was saying you guys have a goal of being over 500 the rest of the way here. I mean, for a guy like you, you're, you know, a rookie in the NHL. You have plenty to play for, but do you get the sense that that's something worth striving for?
100%. I mean, we all have pride in here. We all, you know, we wear this jersey with pride, and we want to represent not only ourselves but this organization. And I think night in and night out, guys are giving it their all, and, you know, I think that's a goal we can strive for.
What have you seen just watching Donato over the past week or so?
I mean, it's not just this past week. It's his mentality the past year that I've been able to know him. You know, he's a guy who's been up and down the lineup. You can slot him in anywhere, and he's going to have success. And it's just awesome to see, because his process is just better than anybody I've ever seen. So it's awesome to see him have success and also being a great guy doing it.
That was Blackhawks forward Landon Slaggard. He's been a real bright spot for Chicago over the last few weeks. Hawks fall to the Ottawa Senators 4-3 in overtime. We'll take another break, but on the other side, we'll get to our save of the game, and we'll also hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen coming up next on 720 WGN.
Dock out to the right, point turns to fire. That's blocked, and now Ridley Gregg is going to get a break into the Hawk zone down the left wing side of the net. He shoots. That's punched out with a blocker save by Soderblom.
Remember that save.
That was tonight's Save the Game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. That was a big save by Arvid Soderblom less than a minute into the third period. And you heard Troy Murray say, remember that save, and the Blackhawks should have, because Craig Smith scored his ninth goal of the season after that to tie things up for Chicago. Unfortunately, Chicago can't get the second point, but it did play a massive role in getting Chicago the 1 point. Let's hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. He talked about, I'm sure, the controversial OT goal, but also how the goaltending tandem is going to work moving forward. Let's hear what he had to say.
He's battled in this one, so a tough way for it to end.
Yeah, third period, I mean, yeah, second and third period, good. Right, and show some resilience to come back in that game, a team that's hard to score against, and found a way to tie it up.
Did you get any explanation on the game winner?
It didn't. It's not, we can, you know, we thought it was goal interference, but, you know, they called a good goal on the ice, and they looked at it, and then that was it.
Do you see anything with maybe a kicking motion as well on that?
Yeah, but that was, I think, accidentally maybe, but his stick kind of goes through Sody, right? So, you know, I don't know if he's pushed in there or if that's what they're seeing or what.
You guys starting to feel a little cursed on these reviewed goals?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. It seems to be hard to, anything that, if they call it a goal on the ice, it doesn't seem to come back very often, right?
How would you assess the team play?
What's that?
How would you assess the team play?
I thought the second and third period was good. I thought we were tentative in the first period for whatever reason again. And it wasn't even the whole first period, but the first 10, 12 minutes again, similar to LA game, right? So for whatever reason, we come out a little tentative and don't take enough initiatives. And then when we do, then I thought it was much better. So the last 4 to 5 minutes of the game, I thought was good. Overall, didn't give up much. We didn't get much, but it was, you know, tight check that way.
On that Kachuk goal, what did you want defensively? That was the opening goal.
On the tip goal?
Kachuk.
Well, I think they got four guys up high, so we kind of vacated the net. We had one D there, and we couldn't find a stick there.
I know I asked you at the last home game about Ethan Del Mastro, seeing his role elevate. I think he led the team in ice time tonight. I mean, how it seems like every game he's getting more responsibility. What did you see from him tonight that led you to be confident enough to push him out there every other shift?
Much of the same, right? Like, I think his poise with the puck, his ability to kind of hang on to pucks under pressure, right? He doesn't, you know, he's got the poise. He's willing to kind of absorb a hit and hang on to it and spin off it and make a play out of it. And, yeah, he sees the game real, he sees the ice real well. And you know, a lot of stops defensively. He gets a lot of stops, you know, which is huge.
What were you not seeing from Athanasiou there?
There's several things, but I'll kind of dress that with him.
With the goalies, how are you going to be doing this going forward? Is it going to be a straight rotation, all three of them, two of them? Like, what's your methodology going to be here?
We have, you know, Spencer's going to go, and then it's going to be him and Sody here for a little bit, see how that plays out. So it'll be those two guys, and then whoever's playing well is going to go.
How is Mrazek handling that?
He's good. He's a pro.
What led to that decision to go with those two?
Well, it's tough when you have three. You know, you got to find some type of rotation, right? But we feel like Sody's played well, and Peter's been good too throughout the year. But you know, Spencer coming in, and obviously it's tough to play three goalies. You can't play three goalies. So we're going to go with those two right now, and then things can change, but those are the two guys. Yeah.
Is there any thought to sending Peter on waivers on the Rockford or anything like that?
What about Donato's play? I mean, he's on a 6-game point streak, 3 straight games with a goal.
Yeah, he's been good. Offensively, really good. I think that line has been really good overall. So we're really, you know, obviously him and Tavo has played real well, Mickey. So, yeah. They're finding some chemistry, and they're making things happen offensively, yeah.
You know, what could happen at the deadline, but how much are you hoping come Friday night you still have him at your disposal and possibly in your lineup?
Yeah, out of our hands, right? Out of my hands. But, yeah, I mean, we like him. He's been good for us, you know, so.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. We got one more break to get to, and we're going to wrap things up here on the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN. We are back here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Let's get right into our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Utah Hockey Club are going to be here at the United Center on Friday, a 7:30 puck drop to wrap up a 3-game homestand for Chicago. The last time the Blackhawks faced Utah was last Tuesday, and they lost 2-1 on the scoreboard, but the scoring chances at even strength in that game were 40-5. In favor of the hockey club. Arvid Soderblom was unreal in that game for the Blackhawks. It sounds like it's going to be Spencer Knight on Friday against Utah, and Arvid will get the second of the back-to-back against Nashville on Saturday. The Utah Hockey Club, they're 4 points back, but three teams to jump. So they are fighting for their playoff lives in the Western Conference. They were a busy team the last couple days. They signed Olli Maatta to a 3-year extension. They signed Ian Cole to a 1-year extension. And they signed one other one. Who was it earlier today? Oh, it was Alex Kerfoot to a 1-year extension. So Utah got their hockey business done. They will be here Friday night, 7:30 puck drop. We will see you then. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, North Circus Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Alan Poppy and Brendan Rook. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the UC, and our captain Krista Flores back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I am Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 4-3 Blackhawks overtime loss to the Ottawa Senators. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Friday night from the UC.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks Hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com, and through your smartphone with the WGN app.